Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. With the Trump administration choosing very right-wing cabinet positions, there appears to be a nationwide conservative swing, a new moral atmosphere where conservative values that were not allowed to be discussed in the public are now being entertained. Congress is pushing back against a new transgender congressman from Delaware who demanded to use the woman's bathroom. Nancy Mace, the congresswoman from South Carolina, is demanding that she also has the right to not have men using her restroom. That just because Tim McBride cross-dresses and thinks he's a woman doesn't override Nancy Mace's rights. You know, this may seem like one little scuffle, but it represents a bigger shift. The way it's being approached overturns the leftist narrative and the power they have wielded over the last few years. And Congress will likely pass a bill prohibiting transgenders using women's bathrooms at the Capitol. Here's a story. Wisconsin City School Board votes for bathrooms and sports sanity over gender lunacy. Well, of course, the left is pushing back against this with a lawsuit. But with the new administration coming to Washington and with every one of Trump's cabinet picks promising to end transgender ideology and DEI, it's empowering and strengthening God-fearing people to speak up and push back. Last week, James Comer, Republican congressman from Kentucky, held congressional hearings over unlawful DEI programs in the federal government, showing DEI programs for what they are, cultural Marxism, racial discrimination, not racial equality. Jasmine Crockett, a Black Democrat congresswoman from Texas, responded in anger that Republicans want to do away with DEI. Well, that's because she's misled, like so many, to believe DEI is about racial equality when it's not. It's LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer ideology. It's about demanding moral equivalency. Inclusion is about including sexual deviance. It's Ezekiel chapter 22. They make no distinction between the clean and the unclean. Anyway, here's an article by Jamie Joseph with Fox News. State lawmakers and companies prepare to push back against DEI woke initiatives. Subtitle, DEI is a multi-billion dollar industry that's pushing a left-wing ideology, says one expert. Quote, some state lawmakers and companies will be preparing to roll back major diversity, equity, and inclusion DEI policies that are present in nearly every major U.S. industry, including the military, according to experts and a Republican attorney general. The incoming Trump administration will likely target many DEI initiatives. In 2020, then-President Trump issued an executive order to ban diversity training for federal contractors. And the House Oversight Committee held a hearing this week about dismantling DEI policies. Devon Westhill, a constitutional and civil rights attorney, said in an interview, it's a multi-billion dollar industry that pushes a left-wing, far-left ideological orthodoxy in essentially every area of American life, which is why I've begun to call it the DEI enterprise instead of just DEI, so that people have a sense of what I'm talking about. Over the last 4 years, the Biden-Harris administration has encouraged DEI initiatives across several sectors of the federal government. In 2021, Biden widened an executive order directing agencies to assess and remove barriers to equal opportunity through DEI policies. Another executive order signed that year was a government-wide initiative to embed DEI principles in federal hiring. The Department of Education has also released reports encouraging DEI on public university campuses. The Biden-Harris administration also invested in DEI programs within the U.S. military. Large corporations across the United States have also adopted DEI workplace policies, including Johnson & Johnson, MasterCard, Marriott, Target, Google, Bank of America, etc. It wasn't so much a dollar and cents motivation for corporations. Will Hild, executive director of consumer research, told Fox News Digital in an interview, "You had it coming from the federal government. Or if you wouldn't go along with, under the Biden administration, with the DEI regime, they were threatening to sue you or to claim that you're violating civil rights of minorities." So it was more a combination of threats of bad press or government action against these corporations. Hild said he expects to see over the next few years many red state attorney generals starting to sue these corporations for hiring based on racial quotas. Consumers have also suffered as a result of DEI policies. He argued that it shifted companies' focus away from the quality of goods, unquote. So what's important to note here is that this was all being pushed by the Biden administration, the state. And this is just another reminder that civil leaders become either moral or immoral leaders in a country. They set the moral climate. In the Old Testament, the kings of Israel would either turn the people back to evil, turn the people back to God. Let's not underestimate the God-given role of civil government to be a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. You know, you think New York City is bad today. Back in the 1970s, the murder rate was over 2,000 per year. There were muggings and thefts everywhere. The city was like Gotham with the Penguin being the mayor. And then Rudy Giuliani came in 1994 and the crime rate plummeted. He brought back law and order. It's amazing what just a little bit of law enforcement can do, because in most cases, it's just a group of less than 10,000 people who are causing all of the crimes in the city. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. Now, I don't believe Giuliani was the primary cause for the reduction in crime. I attribute it to the mini spiritual revival America had back in the 1980s, with the rise of the moral majority, Christian media and programming, focus on the family. God just raised up Giuliani to take care of the civil government end of things. But nevertheless, he did have a profound influence on the moral culture of New York City. You know, take, for example, the opposite situation. The failures of King Ahaz. 2 Chronicles 28:19, "For the Lord humbled Judah because Ahaz, king of Israel, brought about a lack of restraint in Judah and was very unfaithful to the Lord." The influence of civil and social leaders are also described in Jeremiah 23:14. "And they strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom, and are inhabitants like Gomorrah." So now, with the new Trump administration, seems like the pendulum is swinging in a conservative direction, especially with many red states and companies and universities getting rid of their DEI initiatives and DEI officers. Also, the public is turning against illegal immigration, turning against deficit spending and the size of government. You know, even the overturning of Roe versus Wade 2 years ago was a move in the right direction. Elon Musk 2 years ago purchased Twitter, and now conservatives have a major platform without censorship. The leftist cable news channel, MSNBC, is now up for sale because the audience is so small. And so likely gone will be a whole bunch of leftist news pundits. Cenk Uygur, the host of the leftist site, The Young Turks, is now criticizing the Democrat Party for being undemocratic and trying to align himself with Elon Musk. The federal government just asked a judge to break up the Google monopoly, which is a good thing, especially if they can force Google to sell YouTube. Elon and Vivek's Department of Government Efficiency are planning to end all government support for Planned Parenthood. Last week, a number of conservative sites made an issue about Congresswoman AOC removing her politically correct pronouns from her website. Now, obviously, she hasn't changed her position, but the right sees this as another sign of the left going into hiding. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, a number of prominent leftists such as Don Lemon and Jussie Smollett say they're leaving Twitter now that it's dominated by conservative pundits and conservative thought. In this, they're actually abandoning much of their social influence. Here's an article from the Daily Wire, The Collapse of the Elites. Here's another article from NPR, The Downfall of DEI. And here's an article from Forbes last year, Is DEI Officially Dead? Quote, for the last few years, it seems that anti-DEI sentiment has gained traction. The Supreme Court's decision to end affirmative action and strip away LGBTQI plus rights has furthered the DEI hate train. The critiques of DEI have been escalating. In 2020, President Trump issued a diversity training ban, and almost 3 years later, conservatives are hoping to limit corporate DEI efforts. The chief diversity officer for Virginia recently stated that DEI is dead. Now, of course, all of those articles may be premature, but they still reflect on what people are seeing in the culture. But here's the question. Could we be seeing a major moral turnaround in America? And this is a good point to insert Trump's infamous winning dialogue.
We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more. We're going to win so much.
You know, I love that piece. It's just good satirical humor. But is this true? I mean, will conservatives win? Of course, we know in the end, God's people win. But what about now, in the short term, and the future of America? Now, if you're of a post-millennial theological persuasion, you're expecting Christendom 2.0, where while the 20th century was the century of secularism, the expectation is that the 21st century will eventually usher in a return to God. The world, having experienced the insanity of paganism, will once again turn back to God, like in the days of the Reformation. Now, if you're premillennial and take a futuristic interpretation of the biblical book of the Revelation, you see a coming apocalypse on the horizon. So at best, what's happening now in America is merely a temporary reprieve, a stopgap measure to hold America together, and really all of the nations together for a little while longer, for the sake of God's program, the church. Now, there's actually a third interpretation of all this, that Donald Trump and the Republicans are actually the problem. They are the apocalypse. They are the deception. They're actually leftist plants, and they're going to usher in more evil because their conservatism is mixed with the same autonomy from God as the leftists. And I discussed this position at length a couple of weeks ago, where some Christians are expecting perfection before they'll rejoice and support any movement. And some actually predict that Trump's second term is going to be a complete failure and hurt the cause of Christ. And God will do this so that Christians will learn not to trust in or idolize leaders like Trump. Of course, we know Christians should always know this lesson, but I'm not sure Christians are that deficient in that regard. And that's what the future is going to be. Well, regardless of our take on the current situation and what the future holds, this we do know. It's obvious the hand of God raising up Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, and a fighter like Donald Trump to move the country in a conservative direction and to toss out of power many woke leftist Marxist politicians. Study the book of Judges. God would raise up civil leaders to put ancient Israel back on the right track And they weren't the righteous prophets, but firebrands who overthrew evil people. Oh, and by the way, all of those judges, like Gideon and Samson and Jephthah, received opposition from the Jews themselves. The Jews wanted to put Gideon to death for challenging Baal worship and the rule of the Midianites. The Jews wanted to turn Samson over to the Philistines to be killed, because the majority of the Jews cowered and capitulated to the leftist elites in their day. You know, they were too fearful to take on the evil of the culture. They just wanted to make nice. You know, this week I was discussing with another pastor the role of Constantine the Great, who in AD 313 legalized Christianity in the Roman Empire and put an end to the persecutions. You know, this was a huge ideological shift in Rome, the whole known world at that time, and that shift was led by the emperor. But of course, the groundwork was laid by the teaching and evangelism of the church. Now, if you talk to Reformed theologians, Constantine was great. But if you talk to some Baptists, especially the separation of church and state, Roger William type Baptists, Constantine was a devil, because he allegedly infiltrated the church with worldliness by making the state more Christian in its function and support. But if you were a Christian living in AD 313, you wouldn't have been such an ideological intellectual dunce. The Roman Empire was murdering Christians by the thousands, and Constantine put a stop to that. And that was a good thing. He wasn't a tool of the devil. He was like the Old Testament character Cyrus the Great, that God raised up to protect his program in the world. Or like Artaxerxes, who saved the Jews in Persia, or Nebuchadnezzar, who was converted and protected the Jews in Babylon. Now, as far as Constantine's spiritual immaturity and his doctrinal errors, well, that was something the church needed also to address as it arose. But it didn't take away from the good that Constantine did. The government of Rome moving in a Christ-honoring direction. Now, one thing we observe in the current conservative swing we're seeing here in America is that it's not being directly accompanied by the influence of certain Christian evangelists like D.L. Moody or Whitfield or Edwards or Wesley, like during America's first and second Great Awakenings, where there was religious revival behind political change. It really doesn't appear like America is having a third Great Awakening, a spiritual revival. However, don't underestimate the massive behind-the-scenes work Christians in America seeking to teach God's truth and lead America back to God. God is hearing their prayers. And if we look back at the so-called Great Awakenings in America, they're often embellished by Christian historians. They were not as visible as depicted. While Whitfield and Edwards and Wesley were conducting their evangelistic meetings, it was certainly noticed in the churches, but that movement was overshadowed by all the other worldly activities and businesses in the major cities. Even the Reformation is glamorized. In reality, it was one big theological mess. It wasn't as if Calvin or Luther or Zwingli or Tyndale were the darlings of the culture, as if they were actually calling the shots. The end of popery, as it was called, wasn't produced directly by Christian evangelists. It came about by scoundrels like Henry VIII and a number of other European princes who got tired of the Pope and the influence of Italy over the rest of Europe. Now, the majority of the conservative movement today is failing to direct people back toward the authority of God and Scripture. It's instead all about personal freedom and common sense. But that's the way it's always been in this world. God's people have always been in the minority, and cultural shifts toward the right have always been flawed. Now, certainly we need to recognize those flaws and try to correct those flaws, but nevertheless appreciate when the culture moves toward the right and when God reestablishes his authority and his law on earth, even by using sinful men. Everything in this world is flawed. Everything in this world is temporary until Christ returns and makes all things new. So next year, we're going to be celebrating America's 250th anniversary. Will it be a deception? An illusion? Where they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them? Or will it be the beginning of more good years for America? I want to close with this biblical teaching, this Bible study. We don't know, and we're not supposed to know, what the immediate future holds. Now, we know some general truths concerning God's ultimate plan for this world, but the specifics are always a surprise for us. Just when we expect the apocalypse to start, there comes a reprieve, and evil's overthrown. Or just when we expect a revival, wickedness comes to power. Nations unexpectedly rise and fall. Jeremiah chapter 18. Behold, like the clay in a potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom, to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring upon it. Or at another moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up or to plant it. Well, the main verse I want us to consider is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes being the Christian philosophy of life. Ecclesiastes 8:16. When I gave my heart to know wisdom and to see the task which has been done on the earth, even though one should never sleep day or night, and I saw every work of God, I concluded that man cannot discover the work which has been done under the sun. Even though a man should seek laboriously, he will not discover. And though a wise man should say, I know, he cannot discover. The works of God referred to are the specific details of God's program in this world. And the pundits, or even Christian teachers, who think they can predict what's going to happen, really don't know what they profess to know. Notice the following scriptural text. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11. The Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Isaiah 29:14. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous. And the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. In other words, the wise will not be able to figure out or expect what's about to transpire. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Look among the nations, observe. Be astonished, wonder. Because I'm doing something in your day you would not believe if you were told. Acts 13:41. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish from accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you'll never believe, though someone should describe it to you. So when it comes to God's work, expect the unexpected. 10 years ago, nobody knew Trump would appear on the scene and have the audacity to change the status quo. Nobody thought Elon Musk would come into such wealth and such influence and work to take down the big state. And nobody knows how this is all going to work out. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 7. If no one knows what will happen, who can tell him when it will happen? So, what is God doing through Donald Trump? I don't know, nor do I need to know. But I'm sure it's going to work toward the building up of the church, the salvation of more souls, and the program God has to raise up Israel for the last days, along with the judging of the nations. My exhortation is that you just sit back, enjoy and marvel at the works of God in this world. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thank you for loving the Word. And may Jesus Christ reign.